Good morning.
Okay.
I want to thank Jim for the reading of the scriptures. And I'd like to read the scripture from Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 to 54 again, because I want to emphasize the importance of this particular scripture for my sermon. And it reads, "From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, this man is calling for Elijah. At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out to the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, truly, this man was God's son. Let us pray. Our God, who leads us, guides us, and has called us by name, we honor you in this place. Be with me now as I deliver this sermon, and be with this congregation so that they may leave this place in an even better space than they were when they came into it. I ask all of these things in your precious name. Amen. The title of this sermon is called When It Feels Like God Has Forsaken Us. When it feels like God has forsaken us. I work as a chaplain for my day job, so I have the pleasure of authentically wrestling with prickly topics on a daily basis. People will often voice their silent pain and share secrets with me that many times they may not have even told their own spouses. And sometimes, through quiet tears and a timid disposition, they'll ask in hushed tones, why has God forsaken me? Sometimes it's a question that's yelled, sometimes it's said in a normal voice, but usually it's asked in a whisper and with an air of fear surrounding it. Perhaps it's a fear of overstepping their boundaries, of doing something that they were taught their entire lives that they were not supposed to do. Perhaps it's a fear of retribution, that they may get struck down by lightning for daring to question their almighty God, but whatever the source of the fear, it is there all the same. The thought of God forsaking us or forsaking us may inspire some to shout, blasphemy. How can you even think something like that? They may utter. Have more faith, they may say. God has specifically promised never to leave nor forsake us. But what happens when everything in your life points to otherwise? When it seems like you're caught up in a never-ending cycle of hopelessness, a downward turn towards the pits of despair. In this age of government shutdowns, housing crises, mass support for sex predators, the perpetuation of racism, sexism, classism, homophobia, transphobia, ableism, and much more on full display, not to even mention the personal struggles that we may be facing in our own lives that intensify the impact of the struggles that we see out in the world every single day, it's possible that many of you may have felt a sense of grief at some point. It's possible that many of you may even be going through a grieving experience right now. I remember very clearly one of my great grieving experiences. For one of my first jobs in ministry, I had unknowingly entered into a situation that wasn't the best for me. I was bombarded with a dysfunctional work environment, 3 difficult supervisors within 1 year, and an entire department in the midst of chaos. The very worst thing someone could have said to me during that time was, "You have to have more faith that things will work out," or "God will never put more on you than you can bear." It certainly didn't feel like that was the case. And besides, what's wrong with being upset during these times anyway? I had watched all the personal progress that I had made on myself wither away under the auspices of an unjust system. I had experienced the crumbling of a dream that was only newly formed, and I suffered with the isolation that came from keeping all of these things to myself out of embarrassment, all of this while doing what I thought was the work of the Lord. I was hurting. I was frustrated. And I wanted answers. Why was this happening to me? What had I done to deserve this madness? Why had God forsaken me? And beloved, I'm not here to pepper you with phrases about how good God is. I'm here to honor and acknowledge your pain, to sit with you in the depths of your despair, and to hold your hand along the way. I'm here to say it's okay to feel what you feel for however long you need to feel it, because in truth, the only way to get through it is to go through it. The novelist and nonfiction writer Annie Lamott once wisely put it like this: "All those years I fell for the great palace lie that grief should be gotten over as quickly as possible and as privately. But what I've discovered is that the lifelong fear of grief keeps us in a barren, isolated place, and that only grieving can heal grief." I believe Jesus knew this, and I believe Jesus practiced this. Our sacred scripture is filled with evidence to support this. In John 11:35, Jesus wept over the death of his dear friend Lazarus, knowing that he would soon raise him from the dead. But what stands out to me the most is Jesus' grief-stricken cry over his own impending death: my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, there are various schools of thought on Jesus' intention behind uttering this phrase at that point. Some scholars feel that Jesus did not feel forsaken at all, that he was simply quoting Psalm 22 and using the psalm to prove that he was the Messiah. Others believe that, yes, Jesus did feel forsaken because he was now carrying the weight of the sins of the world on his shoulders. I say, why not both? Could Jesus possibly be pointing to himself as the Messiah while simultaneously expressing his grief over feeling forsaken? It makes sense when you look at the events leading up to his crucifixion. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus seems a bit agitated. He snaps at Peter for falling asleep when he was supposed to be awake supporting him. He pleads with God not once, but twice, saying, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me." But ultimately, he concedes, saying, "Yet not my will, but your will be done." Clearly, Jesus was not gung-ho about this particular mission. Clearly, he was feeling forsaken. Have you ever felt forsaken by God? Perhaps you've experienced the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, the loss of a belief, the loss of faith in something or someone, or perhaps it was the loss of a loved one. Each of these grieving experiences, each of these deaths, may have led you to wonder in the privacy of your own mind, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you have felt forsaken by God, you're in good company. As problematic as Mother Teresa was, she is often held up as a paragon of spirituality by Catholics and Protestants alike. And in a book of letters written by Mother Teresa entitled Come By My Light, The Private Writings of the Saint of Calcutta, she writes, I am told God lives in me, and yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul. She wrote at one point, I want God with all the power of my soul. And yet between us, there's a terrible separation. I feel just that terrible pain of loss, of God not wanting me, of God not being God, of God not really existing. Beloved, if you have felt forsaken, you are not alone. It is in the midst of this feeling of forsakenness that we find Jesus when we come to Matthew 27, verse 46. Now, I like this Jesus that we find in Matthew. This Jesus seems real to me, like someone I can relate to as a human being. He's not laying up on the cross saying, oh, blessed am I for enduring this pain, or God, you are such a good God right now. No, he is yelling out in the full expression of the pain he is feeling, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is acknowledging his pain in front of everybody without a care of what they will think or what they will say. Too often, in the midst of our pain, we put on happy faces and pretend like we're all right when we're really coming apart inside. We may even let others rush us through our season of mourning. But, beloved, what would it look like if we took the time to acknowledge the depths of our pain? What would it look like if we realized that God was big enough to handle our anger, our hurt, our frustration, and even our questions? I believe then, and only then, would we begin to cultivate a more honest and authentic relationship with God. Going back to the scripture, Jesus then cries out in pain and anguish and breathes his last breath, surrendering himself fully to the agonizing process. Suddenly, the earth shakes and the rocks are split. The temple is torn in two. The tombs are opened and the centurion looks up and says, truly, this man was God's son. He didn't say truly. This man didn't have enough faith. I heard something about how the temple was going to be destroyed. And look, the prophecy is in the midst of being fulfilled. What's wrong with that guy? No, he said, truly, this man was God's son. And beloved, I pray that we too find the courage to acknowledge the pain, to go through the pain, to cry, to be frustrated, to question, and to know that in the midst of it all, truly, we are God's children. Amen.